Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of not only my heart, but all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, the first 7 verses. Hear now the word of God. I urge, then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. And I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. A few of you, are probably glad that I don't use the pronoun you when I preach. I think most of you are glad that I use the pronoun we. Is there anybody here who wants me to start using the pronoun you? I didn't think so. So today is a... I'm not joking. This is a service of confession. And I'll get to that. When I was a teenager, I had a deck of cards that I would use in my life. One of these cards was always the last one, and it was really not worth much. But you had to use that card occasionally, but it never was any good. Here's the example. You'd be at school. Somebody would be having a party on Friday night. Their parents might not be there. There's a buzz going around. Oh, I forgot to say, all those who are in high school now, do not try this at home. There's a buzz. Everybody's going to be there. So you go home, and I'm praying, Lord Jesus, which parent do I need to ask who will give me the most favorable answer to this question? So most of the time, I probably would go to my mother. Mom, there's a party at so-and-so's house this Friday night. Can I go? Which would usually mean another question. Is the parents going to be there? That's really not a good question because yes, I don't know. I don't think so. I think so. And then you go through a bunch of questions, and then you pull out the card. But everyone's going to be there. You ever tried that card? And my mother would say, but you're not everyone. You are someone. It never was a good card. But it was in that moment I learned in my life that everyone really doesn't mean everyone. Now comes the part that is the most difficult. On January the 20th, 2009, I was sitting in my office where I was appointed to be the pastor. You've heard this story, but you have not heard it this way. I was sitting there looking at all the things on the internet about the inauguration of President Obama. It's a historic day in the life of our country. A big day. And I'm listening to all these news, they have these articles and things going on, and you just think, wow, this is a big deal. On that day, I believe we as Americans, citizens, and people of the United States, regardless of who we vote for, we put all that aside and we become Americans. Right? Y'all buy that? That's what you're supposed to do. And I'm listening to things, and then I go to Facebook because I got bored. And this United Methodist pastor has posted this. Do you think we need to warn Crawford, Texas, that their village idiot is coming home? Which hit the wrong button in me. And without thinking, I responded, it's hard to call someone a village idiot when you're praying for them. And he responded back, you pious jerk, I hope you pray for President Obama as much as you've been praying for President Bush. On that day, I was morally superior to him in my eyes. Do y'all think so? I was. But I'm going to say I was that day. I blocked him as a friend. It was easy to avoid this guy because he was in Atlanta and I'm in Augusta. There's 130 miles between us. I would never see him but once a year. It's easy to not care about somebody when you're 130 miles away. Amen?
Amen.
Then in 2015, I moved where? To Dunwoody. No longer is this guy a pastor of a church that I don't know anything about. He now is working for a conference agency. And since 2009, I believe I have been morally superior to him every day since that day. Right? We have a meeting here, and he has his little booth out front. And I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm cordial to him. I speak to him. I still think I'm morally superior. Everything's okay, right? Y'all are still proud for me to be your pastor. Maybe not. Somewhere in there, about the second year I was here, I got this urge for every new pastor who was appointed to the Atlanta Roswell district, I would write them a note welcoming them to the district. Welcome to the Atlanta Roswell district. I will be praying that your transition to your new appointment goes well. I will be praying that your ministry here in the Atlanta Roswell district will flourish. If there's anything I can do to help you in any way, please feel free to call. Pretty nice, huh? And then June of 2019 came, and guess who got moved to the Atlanta Roswell district? Me, the morally superior person. I had to decide something. And so I get out my stationery, my envelopes. Guess whose name comes to my mind first? His. So I picked up an envelope, I picked up a piece of stationery, and I addressed it to a different person, and wrote the letter to a different person, and I put in the envelope, I put the stamp on it, and then guess whose name came to my mind? His did. And I grabbed a piece of paper, and I grabbed the envelope, and I wrote a letter to somebody else. That happened till there was nobody left but... And then it came to me. It was so convicting. Does everyone mean everyone to me? Do I really care about his ministry or the people of his church? Do I? Or do I not? And I realized that day that maybe, and it's a big maybe, probably not, but on the first day of January 20, 2009, I might have been morally superior to him. But every day since then, I have not. I don't know how that makes you feel. That's embarrassing. It really is. That I could hold a grudge and not pray for somebody or care about somebody for 10 years. You see, that's not what the Bible tells us. And I'm guessing I'm not the only person here who's done that. I really doubt that I'm the only person here that doesn't have a grudge. I'm thinking, now in the first service, there wasn't that many people here, and so none of those people did what I did. But y'all, it's more of y'all, so I'm thinking y'all would fall in the same category as me. Somewhere along the way, there is somebody here in a family that you have not spoken to in a while. Not only have you not spoken to them, you don't pray for them. Not really care about them. Out of sight, out of mind. There are people in here who have people they work with who feel the same way about them. Is everyone everyone to you? You see, that's what Paul tells us. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Is everyone everyone to you? And then he specifies that we should do it for kings and all those in authority. And the reason we do that is so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And when I was reading that this week, the reality is that for 10 years, even though I thought I was morally superior, I was not living a peaceful and quiet life in godliness and holiness. It's impossible to live that way and grow closer to God, to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You might think you can, but you can't. And so what are we supposed to do? You see, that's the problem. If we have problems with people within this room, we need to make sure that they know and they tell us that, so we will know that we are praying for each other. Requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for them, so that we all can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Wouldn't that be a great thing if all of us covenanted together to pray for everyone in this community of faith? Every member in your Sunday school class and in your small group and every committee you have. Wouldn't that be great that if all of us were able to live together and have peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness? That would be a great thing. Because the purpose of it is, and the reason we do it, is not so much because of what we get out of it, which we get something out of it, but it pleases God. Because His goal is that everyone, all it says, so that all people can be saved and come to the knowledge and knowledge of the truth. And then he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. You see, we really want everyone to be everyone, don't we? God wants us to pray for everyone. But our greatest desire is that all means all to God. Right? We don't want God's all to be like our everyone. Because we might not be the one who's in the all. It's important for us that everyone mean everyone, so that all might come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, in our lives, may everyone mean everyone. Burden us. Break our hearts. Do whatever you need to do for us to love everyone, to pray for everyone, so that the turmoil, the chaos, and the pain that we have inside of us might be changed, so it can be peaceful, loving, godliness, and holiness. And may all come. come to know you as Lord and Savior. Amen.